Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello everyone, I'm Kat Farmer.
And I'm Marianne Jones, and this is Been There, Done That, got the podcast.
Well, what have I been doing this week? Right.
Oh yeah.
This is so good.
Yeah.
This very, very not like me, and very, very like you. So this week I have been for what they call an intuitive reading with an astrologer.
Is it like a tarot thing?
Well, no, I thought it was. So it's a lovely lady called Emma Howarth, who is an astrologer. So she's not a, I think she does read, because she's spiritual, but she's not, I was going to say she's not Mystic Meg, which of course is what it comes down to. You're looking at me like
she's jingle jangling with all jewels, well, jingle jangle.
She didn't have crystals. She didn't have a headscarf on. Okay. Or yeah, no.
Did she have a crystal ball?
No, there was no whiff of patchouli.
No.
No, she's really, really cool. So she's the astrologer for Glamour magazine, but she's amazing. So what we did, which is an intuitive reading with oracle cards.
The oracle.
Oracle cards. But it was basically, it was set up by, I went last week with a really, really good friend of mine, an old friend of mine, and of 12 years, a lovely lady called Jo Davis, who works for, she owns a boutique called Black White Denim.
Yeah.
In Wilmslow, which is amazing. Anyway, she came down and came to stay with me, and we went buying together. Oh my God, it was so exciting. So obviously buying at the, with the wholesalers for her shop.
Oh my God, it was
with
so,
you in tow.
With me.
She spent a fortune. Oh, honestly, break the bag. I was like a kid in a candy shop. So we did a clothes brand called Dayberger & Mikkelsen, who are a Danish brand. Oh my God, they're gorgeous. And then we did a jewellery brand, Rachel Jackson. So this beautiful jewellery. And Rachel has a new collection out based around the North Star.
Okay. That's meant to be your guiding star, isn't it?
Exactly.
Right.
So that's it. So the goal, everyone needs to find their North Star.
Yeah.
And what is that thing that guides and focuses them? So what she had for all the buyers who'd come to see, as a little bit of a, you know, just to make it a little bit more of an occasion, this amazing woman, Emma, was doing readings to find your North Star.
Yeah.
And so she set out all these cards, these oracle cards, and then she had also some crystals. I'm not going to lie to you.
There were crystals involved. Fair enough.
Okay.
They're very spiritual things,
the
crystals.
Yeah.
I don't mind a crystal, if I'm honest.
Really?
I mean, I won't wear them on my person.
Oh, see, I'm the other way around.
I don't mind a big lump of crystal. They're quite nice.
What? Hanging around the house?
Oh, yeah. Loads of people just have crystals.
I know.
But, you know, for good energy.
Do you remember that shop in Sevenoaks? It's now a little tiny pub.
God, yeah, that did well for years on crystals.
The crystal shop. It had crystals and fairies.
That's right, yeah.
Just sells.
Quite cute, actually.
Crystals.
Yeah, as you do.
No.
I know. Anyway,
just something
move
else
on.
To dust. So she did have the crystals, and the crystal thing, I was a bit, okay. But, you know, fine. I got involved. And then she said, pick a card. So there must have been about 30 cards in all set around on this table, and you had to, the card that drew you, so you know you had to, and I looked at it and thought, oh, really? Anyway, I just kept coming back to this, honestly.
Go on then.
You believe this?
No, I do. I love it all.
Dear, so yeah. I was telling my best mate.
Did she ask you about your star sign first? Did she do anything astrology?
Yes.
Love that.
So I picked up my card. OMG, let me get the card. Hang on a sec.
The Kat Farmer card. Oh, here we go. It's in a little envelope with writing on.
You say that. Look, this is it. So these are the oracle cards. Maz, oh, look at that.
That looks like you sitting in the champagne glass.
Oh, no. So it is. So it's, mine is play. And it says, have fun, celebrate, don't be so serious. The last thing, I might have got past a bit, I think.
Don't be so serious. Yeah. I'm always telling you, you need to be less serious.
I'm told that all the time. I can't believe it. Yeah, it's good. You need to take yourself less seriously.
But no, play is good for you,
so
isn't it?
So have fun, celebrate, play, and don't be serious. Anyway, it was amazing. So she said, we're talking about it. So this is really interesting. And she said, I get a feeling from you that, and she didn't do, you know, she said, I get a feeling from you that you're in a really good stage of your life. And she said, have you just come through like a big change? So I said, it's really funny you should say that. And so we went through sort of, and I, oh my God, I used your name actually. And I said, I'm going to use the word because I don't know how else to use it. And I said, Marianne will kill me. I said, but I'm going to use the word
journey.
Oh yes. I said, I come on this journey. I said, but I did have this epiphany sort of 16, 17 months ago that I needed to change something in my life. I really, really, really need to change. Something had to give. And that I had, you know, there's a time that we've got left. And do you want to spend it treading water? You know, is the person that you're with, you know, are you together for the right reasons, or should you set each other free? Mm. You know, and then that, you know, are you making each other happy? Do your children deserve to see you really happy rather than just content? I mean, and actually, she said to me, I don't think lots of children actually know what happy is because they don't
see their parents.
They never see it from their parents. Mm. So she obviously does this for lots and lots and lots of people. And she said the amount of people who are just content with their life and don't understand what actually happy is. So she said, she was amazing. So she said,
well, it's not content, is it? Because content means happy. Does she mean complacent?
I wouldn't say content does mean happy. I think, it. To be fair, it depends on the definition of it.
I always think content means you're happy.
I think content means it's not that bad. I think content means that it's almost a settling. I think content means that, you know, you've settled.
Okay.
And that, I think, for many people is an amazing alternative to being really unhappy. But then suddenly there was a real weird, as I say, I mean, you know, the, can I use the word epiphany or not? Are you going to, oh my God.
No, don't mind the use of the word epiphany. It was an epiphany, yeah.
It was an epiphany. I just thought, this is insane. You know, we have the opportunity to spend the rest of our lives really happy. And I know compromise is important in any relationship. When you compromise more than you don't compromise on both sides, isn't there an opportunity to maybe be with somebody or be on your own and find a different path?
Yeah.
A different chapter in your life. And that's what we were speaking about, chapters. And so she said, it was amazing. This was about finding your North Star. My North Star is play, which is handy. And she said, you've already found your North Star, joy, fun, and freedom. So she said, I actually think you are quite mystical. Which is, that was my reaction as well. But she said, no,
Mystic I
said,
Mystic Cat.
Okay, yeah, fine. And she said, spread the message of fun and freedom to more people.
I'd say you already are doing that. My only one slight cynicism about this is because she would have known who you were, presumably.
No, she didn't.
Did she not?
No, absolutely
not. Or she wouldn't
not.
Have known about you because of what she might have seen social media.
No, she didn't follow me at
That's
all.
My only ever once kind of cynical little bit about this is that these people could always find out that you have had a, you know, oh, have you had a recent breakup? Well, like, she knows you will have.
Well, she didn't say about a breakup.
I'm not kind of casting shade or whatever the term is, but I'm just saying that's that, you know.
Well, I think, do you know what? So what I did do is obviously I picked the card.
She picked the card.
So what I did then say is, are all the cards the same? I thought it was like one of those shit card tricks. And so I picked them all up.
Play.
Yeah, exactly. Play. Okay, debauchery, play. No, but I didn't pick. So I then looked at the other cards. I said, can I just go through the other cards? And they weren't. They were much more. They were like soul, family, intuition, calm, grounding, balance. They were all not very, they were all, probably just grounding, but they were all very,
Not good.
They did. Well, they weren't in a.
You couldn't have related to them if you'd chosen it,
not,
sort of thing.
No, exactly. I think you could have sort of, I think this is all things, you know, you can look at it in a certain way. It's like when you read your star signs, you think, oh, that's me. And then you read Virgo, you're like,
that's also me.
Oh, they're all me.
Yeah.
Because they're so vague.
Yeah, of course they are. And everyone can probably relate to each little bit of it.
Exactly. They're written in a way that means, you know, that you can
interpret what you like.
There is some form of identification with each of the messages, whichever way you might interpret it. But
this is a dark-haired, long-haired woman sitting in a massive glass of champagne. I mean, if someone was to show me that and say, who's this? I'd say Cat Farm.
Well, I've never done that move.
Or maybe you need to start.
Maybe, I mean, yeah. Well, I think no, actually. We'll show you the move.
Love that.
Mm. It's amazing. Love that. Do you know what? I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And Emma Howarth, look her up. She's great. And she's not a woo-woo astrologer.
Well, I might look her up because I love everything to do with astrology and all that sort of stuff, right? Okay, well, this week I've been there, done that. And I hosted a talk all about sleep. And picked up some good tips along the way for people who don't sleep properly.
That is absolutely fascinating. I've been to a couple of things, well, one this year and one last year, and had conversations with people about sleep. And what I didn't realise is how many people, we should ask this, how many people struggle with sleep?
Yeah, we should ask that. We'll put a poll out. Well, this was an audience at the White Company, and the expert I spoke to is a sleep scientist called Dr. Sophie Bostock. Again, not woo-woo, all very, very practical, grounded in just really kind of practical stuff. She knew all about circadian rhythms. You know, she talked about the pressures kind of not to sleep now. So, you know, you sit.
What do you mean?
So, like, you're sitting watching Netflix and you've just binge-watched something, and then it says in 10 seconds there's another one. So you stay up even though your body's telling you to go to sleep.
Whoa. Hang on a minute. Don't you just fall asleep?
No.
What?
So you're because your body's fighting against it. Whereas if you listen to your body at about whatever wind down a clock should be, because we don't wind down anymore either as much as we should. She said, like toddlers, we should have a bedtime routine, whether that's going in, tidying up your bedroom, putting your lamp on, getting your clothes out for the next day, having a bath, having a read, you know, that's kind of a lot of that's gone for a lot of people. And we're just sitting slumped on the telly, having another wine and watching another, you know, One Day or The Morning Show, as was the case with me last night, because you've got me into it.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it.
So do people not just, you see, I will go to bed with the iPad every night, go to bed.
Not
with
the greatest of ideas.
But I
you
then
sleep,
watch 2 minutes
you?
And then fall asleep.
Yeah, but I mean, listening to her was just, A, it was eminently sensible. B, I didn't know a lot of things. Apparently, if you go to sleep within like 5 minutes, I used to think that was really good. It's not that good.
Really?
Because it often means you're kind of overly exhausted, and the knock-on effect is you often wake in the middle of the night.
No.
And can't really go back to sleep.
That's amazing. How long are you... Whoa.
How long are you meant to take before you go to sleep?
Yes.
Between, I think, sort of 10 to 20 minutes.
Oh, shut the front door. I'd have got up.
Well, actually, the other interesting thing she said, and again, I didn't know this, is if you really can't sleep. I was always told you just stay in bed until you can sleep. She said, no, you should get up. You should get up, get yourself in another room, walk around, and then try again. She had so many good tips, and there were so many really good questions.
I also think with those sorts of things, for some people, I think there is a lot of, as you say, pressure on being able to sleep well.
Yeah.
And I think if people, you know, people don't know about there are different ways of sleeping, it is almost then that stress of, I can't sleep. So then
exactly.
You think about, I can't sleep. So it's that knock-on effect. But if someone gives you permission to say, do you know what? Lie there for 20 minutes, half an hour, that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. She said you should never have a lie-in, but naps are okay as long as it's between 1 and 3 and not longer than 20 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
That
so lie-ins mess with your system.
Well, what when you say, does that then depend on what time you go to bed? What do you mean a lie-in?
Well, so you should ideally go to bed at the same time every night. You should ideally, I know I'm saying ideally,
yeah, of course,
because that doesn't
of
always happen, get up at the same time every day. Even at the weekend.
What about if you have a lion every day?
Well, then that's your normal bedtime, isn't it? So she was really good. Sophie Bostock. I mean, look her up. She's done lots of speaking. She's done like Google Talks. And she was really, really lovely. Really made sense.
Did she say anything? And I know this is a big thing because I've spoken about this a number of times on different things. And it is the morning. What does she think of the snooze button? Is that, I think that's probably terrible, isn't it?
We didn't actually talk about the snooze button. We did talk about different because she said, you know, melatonin obviously plays a really huge part in your sleep, and the naturally waking up should be naturally with light. And she was very pro kind of those devices that put natural glow in your bedroom at a certain time, so you wake up slowly with the light.
That's me with no blinds.
Yeah, no, but that's probably where you're waking up too early. I've got that with my blinds. I need new blinds because they let the sun in just earlier than I'm ready to wake up. Whereas if you're ideally, I think your room should be really dark, but then you wake up with this.
See, I don't like
device.
I don't like a really dark room. I can't.
Fully I like black. A really no. cold room, which apparently is correct.
Yes,
and I like a really dark room.
No,
I love it.
I can't do pitch black.
I do then, you know, trip over the dog when I'm going to the loo in the middle of the night. But
do you go, that's the other thing. Do you go to the loo in the night?
Always. I really wish I didn't. I drink quite a lot of fluids. I drink a lot of water, and I always like have a herbal tea before I go to bed. I always take a big glass of water to bed, and I've usually finished it by the next morning.
Do you remember drinking it in the night?
I remember because I'll read for half an hour, I'll drink, and then in the middle of the night I've got to go to the loo.
I cannot.
Or I'll dream about needing the toilet. Do you know those dreams?
I don't dream about that. I dream about needing a drink, water.
Yeah.
And sometimes, but I cannot remember.
Do you go to the loo in the middle of the night?
I was literally about to say, I can't remember the last time I went to loo in the night.
Your bladder's a husk.
Never. A husk. Massive. I'm a camel.
You're a camel?
No, I don't. I am one of those people who does sleep offensively. I was told that.
Offensively well.
You sleep offensively well. Yeah.
That's good. And I think it's rare.
But I always have done. But my kids will sleep from the age of... I had sleeping kids from tiny.
Did you?
Well, I didn't have any truck with the wake up. I was like, not waking up. We're talking about it. Don't wake up. Go back to sleep.
Yeah. Well, my Danny, the youngest, he was just absolutely not bothered by sleep. Joe, sleep for England. I can sleep for England.
Oh, I love sleeping.
Absolutely love sleeping. I love a nap. It's my favourite pastime.
Oh, I love a nap. So yeah. If I sit down on the sofa at sort of 6, 7, I have to put an alarm on. If I lie down.
You see, that's not good for you, sleeping at 6 or 7.
Yeah, but I don't go to bed until at least midnight.
Ah, how many hours sleep do you have?
Anywhere from, it will range from sort of 6 to 9, probably 6 to 8.
You see, I couldn't live on 6. I would have to have 8 or 9 every night.
Yeah, but what I do tend to do is tend to catch up at the weekend.
You're not meant to have a lie-in, are you?
Yeah, but...
You're doing it all wrong, but you're still sleeping, so you're all right, aren't you?
That's it. Also, should everybody be the same? How does it...
No, she said, you know... What's right for you is right for you, but there are certain obviously common factors, you know.
Yes.
You are meant to be awake in the day, you are meant to sleep at night.
Yes.
That's how we're built.
I do. I am awake during the day for most of it.
Apart from when you're snoozing on the settee
at 5
p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there
it's
you go.
It's fascinating. Mm. It's really... And did she say anything about sort of, not sleep supplements, but, you know, sort of the sprays and the candles?
Yes,
and the...
she talked about supplements, and she said what you can often find, she's not a huge fan of you know, the big marketing that goes into this will help you sleep. She said because there's often... When you actually see what's in these supplements, it often makes no difference. But the fact that you're taking it is having a placebo effect potentially on your sleep.
Well, is it though? But I mean, some people...
And melatonin, she's not a great fan of, and especially ones that you can just kind of go and buy. You can't do that here. And she said there's a reason for that. You shouldn't just be able to go and buy it.
Yeah.
There
are lots and lots of people I know with
self-medicate.
Very, very much. It's great. I mean, I think I'm not right, but we are one of the only countries in the world where you can't buy over-the-counter. Mm. You can buy it in Australia, you can buy it. I think Australia,
buy it in America.
Europe and America, you can buy it everywhere, and they will take it, you know, they will take it religiously. I don't know. It's very interesting. I also think that the big marketing, the sleep sprays and everything, they're only bought by people who struggle to sleep. Yeah. So it's almost like a counterintuitive thing.
Yeah.
As in, they're not really going to help.
I think it's nice. So if you're spraying a bit of lavender on your pillow before, that will all help with the kind of helping you relax or putting something in your bath.
Yeah.
She said, you know, get a bath really does help because your body temperature has to come down to help to cool you down. And that helps you sleep.
So now here's the thing. I don't know about this, actually. So I will wake up in the night.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't have night sweats at all. I don't sweat. But I'm so hot.
Yeah. That's why I have to have the window open. Or, you know, I have to have a
But even if I go to bed, it's freezing.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning and I'm really hot. Yeah.
Well, she did tackle the menopause too. That was a whole other thing. It's about keeping your body, it's about keeping the room cool.
Yeah. But I've always done that. I mean, like, it was even when I've always woken up, like, I'm like a hot water bottle.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
I know.
That's talking lovely, of the menopause.
Oh, yeah.
It's leading us on to our chatty bit.
Look, here we go.
So, the new menopause rules getting us all hot under the collar. There's been an awful lot of debate about this in the last week or so because employers in England and Wales can now be sued for breaching equality laws if they don't make, in quotes, reasonable adjustments for women going through the menopause under new guidance. The Equality and the Human Rights Commission said menopausal symptoms that have a long-term and substantial impact on a woman's ability to carry out normal day-to-day activities may be considered a disability. And it's this disability word, I think, that's kind of fueling people's, you know, conversations and anger. So what side are you on if you have to be on a side?
So we've got
this, right? So if you don't, if you go to work and you're, you know, you're feeling ill or the symptoms of the menopause are really having an impact on you, or you want just want your employer to make some adjustments. It could be temperature. It could be anything. It could be flexible working, because going back to the sleep thing, you might have had a terrible night's sleep because of it. And also, I think the kind of relaxing of uniform policies to allow women to wear cooler clothes. Now, people from either side have really waded in on this. Of course, the Daily Mail have gone bonko over it. Jan Moyer, the columnist, didn't go down well. She called menopausal women, or she referred to them as Mrs. Mad, in one of her columns, and said the menopause is part of the natural aging process, not a medical disability. Older women must now be seen as crippled members of the herd with a target on their rumps, a liability chugging and puffing into the employment pool with all the recruitment allure of a tugboat on fire. So she thinks it's making, you know, kind of terming it a disability and being able to sue in the extreme cases your employee for not helping you is, you know, doing the opposite of what it's intended in terms of, you know, attracting women of that age into the workplace.
I think it is, again, I'm not a fan of this with regards to in its entirety as a top level message, because I think the point is that, again, for me, what this actually comes down to, again, it's a lack of awareness and almost a lack of joined up thinking, in that I just feel that, you know, you sort of say menopause when you suddenly tar women with the same brush. And I think it definitely sort of caters to the very, very, I'm going to call it the lowest common denominator, which isn't meant to be derogatory in any way, shape or form. But I think I agree with her to an extent, you know, that not all women have this. It's like, you know, not all pregnancies are difficult. You know, not all women suffer menopause in this way. The disability thing, I actually think it's really interesting. And in a way, I don't necessarily agree with you as a whole, because certainly, and I can only talk from my own experience, when I was going through the crux of mine, when I thought I was perimenopausal and actually turned out I was fully menopausal, it to me, it was a disability. It was a disability in that I couldn't actually function on a day-to-day basis.
What would you be going through?
I thought I was genuinely going mad. I thought I had early onset Alzheimer's, which is why I went to the doctors. I said to him, I am losing my mind, because I didn't have any physical symptoms. So mine were all mental.
Brain fog.
Do you know, I was typing, I was writing a book at the time, and I was typing, and I would literally just be like, well, I couldn't think of a word for anything. I'd write there, and I'd two sentences later, something in the back of my brain would click. I'd go back and I'd spell there T-H-E-I-R instead of T-H-E-R-E. Really, or like one. I remember kept writing O-N instead of O-N-E, I'd write W-O-N. Like,
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
But this disconnect in my brain, like there was just like something wasn't, like I'd lost half my brain cells and the others weren't really joining up properly anymore. And also that down, just that total and utter black cloud of nothing gave me any joy. All the joy had been sucked out of my life. And I thought it was after COVID. I didn't know what it was. And so I went, saw my doctor, who was amazing. And I, you know, he said, right, we'll do the blood test, did three sets of blood tests to check my FHS levels because they were constantly high. The only reason I don't like doing FHS levels because if they're low, it can be a false positive, you see what I mean? So it could be low, but actually you could just have it on a bad day, whereas you don't get constantly high FHS levels. So he said, no, you're out, you're done. You know, this is it, you know, you've done. On the HRT, and it was life-changing. So for me, what I think, where they're missing this whole, you know, what is it? The long term. So you have to. So what do they want to do? Oh, reasonable adjustments. But what?
Yeah.
But
so room temperature, ventilation.
Okay. Yep.
You know, right. Cooling systems.
Okay. The point is that I now don't need
flexi working.
Don't need
et cetera.
This doesn't, you know, and I think...
Well, that doesn't impact you, does it?
But that's what I'm saying. For the majority of women who've got their HRT sorted, and then I appreciate, don't get me wrong, that not everyone wants to or can do HRT, the majority that do, you're then sorted. So for me, this is almost like shutting the gate after the, you know, the stable... What
is it? Bolted.
Shut the gate after the stable, yeah.
Research shows 1 in 10 women who've worked during the menopause have left their jobs due to symptoms.
So how I would like to see, I think it would be beneficial for women and for companies to sit down and say, right, there is information that you can access. We will fund a menopause specialist for you to go and speak to.
Yes.
We will, I think it's giving women the help they need,
yes,
not making the adjustments. I mean, it's a little bit like...
I think terming it a disability makes me feel slightly uncomfortable. I mean, others have said, actually... health professionals and HR teams at work need to just wake up to it more. And I think I'm with that viewpoint, because it can be debilitating while you're waiting for the right treatment
or it
takes too long to be recognised.
But
in
this
time.
Is it. That's exactly what I think. I think more credence should be given to the, I'm not going to say the diagnosis, but to the awareness around it, you know, to helping women. And I get that all this is helping, but I just think we're going back to, I just think we've, you know, it's almost like, it's interesting that she says about, you know, tugboats on fire. I just think it's, you're making the menopause into something that's so then scary and massive, whereas actually it's something that, yes, all women go through, and yes, historically they've just had to suffer, which is horrific.
Yes.
But we have so much more access to information, and there are so many more solutions, not necessarily solutions, but things that can help us, that is what firms should be encouraging, not, you know, not the, we'll buy you a fan. That's freaking great. I don't want a freaking fan, thank you very much. I don't know. I would like to see, and also I think for women, I think having been through it and knowing how life-changing it can be once you get it right, that is what I would like to see encouraged as a form of help.
Yeah.
Not this, you poor thing, it's a disability, have the day off.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that actually ultimately helps women. And I think what it does, I also think it's polarizing.
This whole thing has been polarizing. Yeah. I mean, since this was announced, people are going absolutely bonko about it on both sides. The disability is the thing that I kind of balk at, but I am very pro, you know, there being just much more awareness about it, needs to filter down through everywhere from GPs to HR departments to actually people, you know, in positions, you know, employers, etc., actually taking it on board properly.
We seem to just be going around squeezing your blackhead here and there rather than actually, you know, looking at the main cause of how do we actually stop the acne from occurring in the first place.
Oh, loving that.
Doesn't it?
It's beautiful.
It's not really beautiful.
Nice word picture.
Not really
there.
Beautiful at all, is it? But I just think, again, it's like, well, let's do this and let's do that. And everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. Whereas it's like, yeah, that's all great.
You don't want to have to sue your employer, no, do you?
I just want
to... Bloody hell, have you ever tried sue your employer? No. I don't think it's that easy.
No, and I just...
Or pleasant. Why would you want to do that? Really, what you want is for that employer... Yeah. To try and take control of the situation, yep, by being helpful to,
exactly,
the workforce.
I want access.
And wanting to hold on to the workforce.
Yes. I want access to be able to get help with this. Whatever it might be, that's what I want access with. I don't want to just sit here and say, snap my foot and say, I'm menopausal, therefore I can do what I want. And I think that is the problem that people will, you know, or the fear is that people would, well, I'm not coming to work today because I'm menopausal.
That's not what women want.
Well, then it's not how we want to be portrayed.
No!
It's, you know, it's wrong. Anyway, let's put it out to you, listeners. First of all, let's do two questions. Is the menopause a disability, yes or no? Secondly, has the menopause affected your ability to work?
I will say, do you know what, on the disability front, interestingly, for me, honestly, for those couple of months, it actually
you
was.
You couldn't function.
I couldn't function. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, if it certainly wasn't a long-term disability for me, but it disabled my ability to function.
Yeah.
Full stop, end of. I did not know what was happening. So, you know, in that respect, I do sort of understand what they're saying, why they call it that, but it's disability, I think, implies it's a long-term thing.
Yeah, and especially if you're going into the menopause. So if you're in the perimenopause and it might not be the kind of median age that you expect, it could be a lot younger, you will possibly spend a long time thinking, what the hell's going on?
Oh, yeah.
And it not even to occur to you.
Well,
just generally knowing more about it would help.
Exactly. And I think the problem is that for the majority of women, it does occur, you know, and obviously women are having children older now. And so, you know, you might have toddlers or you might be trying to juggle work and small, you know, small kids and childcare. Alternatively, you've got teenagers, you know, you've got aging parents. It's, and so you suddenly think, my life is falling apart and I'm losing my shit because of X, Y, and Z, because of all these life things. Whereas actually, it's down to your own health, which, again, if there was access to somebody go and talk to and say, can we just have a look and see what we can do about this? Because right now, I really want some help with this.
Exactly.
And I just think we need to encourage people to put their hands up, their head above the parapet and say, I want to do something about this. I want help. And take away the stigma that still exists around HRT.
Yeah.
Which, anyway, I'm not going to talk
about
it.
Absolutely changed my life.
Oh, my God. It is unbelievable. And it's not. People do think it's overnight. It's not. And you do have to tweak the dose. And you do have to, it doesn't work for everybody, but there are different things that you can take. But I'm saying once you've got it and once it's sorted, you will. I don't know very many people who have it and who love it and say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that.
My sister didn't get along with HRT, but this was years ago. God knows what the dose was. And I've said to her since, because she's older than me, I said, you know, for me, it was so different than it was for you, because I was given what I still think is known as the gold standard, which is the Myrina coil and a small dose of HRT. And it changed, absolutely transformed my life.
Yeah.
It changed my life. I wouldn't have known anything about that if I hadn't had a kind of really a doctor who was up with it, knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, that's interesting. Let us know your thoughts.
Can't segue into this.
Just do it.
Well, you can't say, I can't. I mean,
you
not
don't
even
need
I can.
To.
Don't want to. Do you know what I will do? Okay, here we go. Things in life that make me happy. My HRT and hats.
You see, but hats don't make me happy, Kat.
Well, they make me very happy.
Kat and the hat.
Do you know what makes me even more happy? The fact that my hats give you such discomfort.
Oh, God. But they do. They pain me.
I know.
So this fashion whinge or winner. It's a whinge for me. It's a winner for Kat.
This is a winner for me on so many levels.
Honestly.
Wait till you hear this.
It's occasion hats. So
I got an invitation a couple of weeks ago to an event in, I think it's the end of April, that that I'm going along to with Kat. And I thought, that's going to be a right laugh. Hooray! It's an afternoon do.
Oh, it's properly posh.
Properly posh. I looked at the dress code. Hats for women.
It's not the races either.
No, it's not.
No. So there's no rule on the hats. No. It just says hats.
Yeah. So my absolute knee-jerk reaction was, I'm not going. Even though I really want to go.
You are coming.
I can't do a hat. Can't, unless it's a beanie.
Okay.
I can't do it, Kat.
I appreciate that it doesn't specify what hat, but you're not coming in a beanie. Otherwise, I'm going to
call
you
come as Benny.
Benny, yeah, from literally. Crossroads.
Benny, from... Miss Diane.
No, you can't.
Oh, God. I
will
find
you.
I don't know
what
you... I'm going to do in this muck sweat.
Well, I think as soon as someone thinks they hear, they see occasionally, you know, occasion hat, you automatically think of, you know, weddings, for weddings and a funeral. You think about the big hat, you think about feather, you think about fascinator. Doesn't have to be that. Doesn't have to be that way.
But what can I wear?
So what are you planning on wearing on your body?
No idea. Well, probably a dress.
Okay.
Or some description.
So you're right. I think you should go think more sort of laid back summer. So something along a straw line. You could wear, do you know what, actually, do you know what you might do? I've not run this by you, so I don't know where this is going to go. Bear in mind I'm clutching at straws because you're being really difficult.
Clutching at a straw hat.
No, let's leave the straw hat to one side. What about like one of those sort of thick Alice, like a thick Alice band?
Actually, do you know what? I would prefer some kind of hair ornament to a hat because... Okay. I don't know what it is about my head. I don't suit hats.
I think you would suit better one of those. And they're quite sort of Anne Boleyn. You know, the sort of like the Elizabethan, they're almost like a massive padded headband. And I appreciate right now I'm not selling this very well. But actually, I think that would look really nice.
Can you get away with a thick Alice band as well?
Yeah, of course you can. Yes. For this occasion,
do I have to have something like springing off it?
No, absolutely not. No, you won't need to.
It's so low down on my list of things I have to buy, Kat.
You won't need to. We'll rent one. We'll just rent you one. Don't buy one. Totally rent one.
Oh, listeners, do you ever have this? Absolutely.
But you don't go to something because I'm that's me in fact.
It's just not me. I mean, if it was a wedding, I've been to plenty of weddings, I've never worn a hat. I've never worn a hat.
Really?
Never worn one. Unless when it was bridesmaid, I had to wear some absolutely stupid things on my head.
Did you?
Yeah. But that's, I'm talking years ago, being a bridesmaid. Not been a bridesmaid for decades. I had to wear some daft stuff. But no, I've never, ever, 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 ever been to a wedding as an adult and worn anything on my head.
I think you can get away with wearing a really nice, because your dresses as well, your dresses are quite, they're not that, you know, you can 1,000,000% do this. I've got it in my head already.
My dresses are what, not what?
Well, they're not, you know, you're not going to wear something that's sort of really pared back. You know, sort of my dresses, you know, got the Ladouble J ones, like lots and lots of big print on them. So I will obviously be wearing... No, but I'm not going to go. Well, I've got a couple actually.
You're not going to go cowboy for an outdoor event, are you?
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not a cowboy hat. It's not a cowboy hat. So it's going to look sort of cool rather than, I can't any longer do, you know, the sort of trust up for a wedding with, I don't know, it's just not me, not like properly dressy. So it will be a variation on a theme.
I have problems with heels, Kat. I mean, hat is just, as I don't know.
You don't have to wear heels.
No.
Is that right?
It's causing me pain. But, I mean, this probably will run and run.
Oh, it will.
Because if me and you are going together and we're having to choose something to wear
our
heads.
This has made my year so far.
I might let you choose something for me.
I have also got, which I might wear. It depends on the weather as well, you see. So I have got that huge straw. Do you know what I wore last year? That's from Primark.
Yeah, but you're tall and slim. Can you imagine me in a great big... I just look like a really small saucer.
No, you won't. I don't think you need
a hat.
I'm
like a munchkin.
No, I think one of those bands, a thick padded band, I think it's going to be much, much better.
All right.
We're going to get it sorted. It's
fine.
But I might make you try on some others in the meantime. Of course.
All
not might. Will.
We'll take you on our hat journey.
I didn't say that, she did.
Okay, moving on to our meesome threesomes. And your first one, I'm so jealous of, Kat. Where are they?
Oh, my God, my coasters.
Yeah.
I got new coasters.
Oh, they're so nice. I mean, it's not something I'd normally get that excited about.
Well,
I'm into these.
I know. The reason I got coasters, they're actually not for here. They're actually for Suffolk. But I love... I needed coasters because I've got basically these gorgeous stone trays that are covered in ring marks. I've got the ring marks off and I need a coaster. And coasters are really hard to find. I know that sounds ridiculous. Without them looking a little bit like a holiday purchase that has a little bit of a... They're all quite handmade. Like
you're talking
wood.
About stuff that you'd buy on your gap year that smells of hemp.
Yes. So they're like wooden ones with like carving on them, or the shell inlet ones.
You don't like anything that...
No,
that,
or I don't like a cork.
That whiffs of a year out.
God, no. Or a cork one.
No, I'm not fussy on cork.
No, me neither.
Honest.
No, and what are the other ones I thought? You get the square ones that are like cork with like a funny novelty picture. You know,
unlike most of your funny novelty pictures. Yeah, you don't like anything
student.
Student.
So these, I found these, and they are by a lady called Yvonne Ellen. Oh, my Lord, Maz, you need to go on and see her thing.
Yeah, but I already want those.
Okay, fine. She's amazing. So she does the most incredible. It's her art that are on these things. And they're China, is what I'm going to say. China
goes. So a bit of me, Kat, because each one's got a different animal on.
A different animal. So this is the elephant. So they're beautiful. They're China coasters, hand wash only with love. Hand wash.
I don't wash a coaster, do you? Maybe give them a quick wipe down with the dishcloth.
But they're the most beautiful colours. They're edged in. I think they look really expensive.
Well, when you told me how much they were, I was really shocked at how cheap they were.
Also, coasters. You can't normally get like four coasters for less than like 10, 15 quid.
Oh, God.
Cork ones. So these are four of the most beautiful china, and they've come beautifully packaged in a little box, a little bit like a Chamboy Walker.
I thought they were they were truffled chocolates at first. So you've got an elephant, you've got a snake. I'm a snake. As in my Chinese symbol.
Oh, that, okay, fine.
thing. Oh, I love this one. A parrot wearing a little ruffle.
I know, they're beautiful.
What's that? Oh, and a little dormouse.
Yeah, the dormouse at the bottom because it's a mouse. I'm not a massive fan
You're not a fan of that one. I like it's pink, that one.
Pink mouse.
They're very, 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 very cute. Very cute. How much?
They're about £25.
I think that's...
Maybe £28?
I think, honestly, that's a bargain.
I think they look really expensive. They're really sort of they look like they're from Liberty, like sherbety colour. I'll put the pictures up. They are
beautiful. I almost think
they're
too pretty to use for a coaster, aren't they?
Well, do you know what I think they'd be great for?
Don't put things on there.
They'd be great for, I think, a bedside table to put like your jewellery on at night.
Yes. They look more like a little jewellery thing, don't
they?
Because they're too pretty.
But you can put an Emma Bridgewater mug on it perfectly. Just saying.
Loving those, Kat. Loving. I'll put
that. Yeah, I know. I like those.
I've gone into another book and I'm about maybe 100 max pages from the end. It's called Cleopatra and Frankenstein.
Ooh.
And my friend Fleur from Seven, who runs Seven Oaks Bookshop, recommended it. So it's got to be good. And it is good. Author is called Coco Mellors. And it's really, really interesting. It's about a couple, a young girl, a slightly older man, based in New York. They meet. It's about all of them, their situation, their friends, and kind of what happens to them and the slight disintegration of it all.
This sounds like that. It's very much my life at the beginning. That sounds quite weird there.
It's a bit of you.
Yeah. 24, yeah, my God.
Tender, devastating and funny, positively inhalable. It is inhalable.
It does look really good.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
And it's a debut. This is a debut book.
Coco Mellors. I would, definitely read that. This looks like a real beach page turner.
Oh, God, yeah. It is. It's a real holiday page turner.
If I say this looks like a book I would read rather than one that Mav would normally read, that probably tells you. All you need
you
to know
what? This is very different from what I normally read, which is why I like getting recommendations, because I probably wouldn't have picked it up. But because I saw Flair in the bookshop, in Seven Oaks Bookshop, she basically said, right, I always say, right, what am I reading next? And she said, you've got to read this. It's really good.
Definitely read this. New York is slipping from Clear's grasp. 24 at a different party every night. And with a student visa that's running out, she doesn't even have money for cigarettes. But then a chance encounter on New Year's Eve offers her a way out. Frank, successful and 20 years older, can give her the security she craves and the green card she needs. And in Cleo, he sees a life filled with beauty, art and freedom. Oh my good God. That is very too close to the bone for me, but I didn't take that route. But that's okay. Wow. Yes.
It's great. I think you'd love it. Yep. So Cleopatra and Frankenstein by Coco Mellers. Yeah. I'll put it up anyway.
Right. We'll move on to something a little bit different now. So I saw this. So Davina had this up, and obviously it was menopause related as well. I'm really sorry. We're just going to do it and get it over and done with. So it's called Nudie, and I saw it on Davina's page. She recommended it, and I love Davina. I absolutely love her. Anyway, it is quickly and gently removes patch adhesive. Now, I have done this before, and I've had so many recommendations about what to use for patches.
Because you put yours on your stomach. I put mine on my backside. FYI.
There we go. I don't. TMI. Put mine on my lower stomach. So it's called Nudie, N-U-D-I, and it gets rid of the marks. Now, that might not seem a big thing.
Yeah.
But how do you get rid of yours normally? Do you just have them on your bum so you can't see them?
But what I do, which you don't do, I enjoy long baths. And then I sit in a long bath. And then if I can just feel that I've got a sticky patch on, I just wait for it to soak off. And then I might scrub it with a loofah or a brush.
I've tried that. You see, in a shower, it doesn't work. Mm. The only thing that people have tried, olive oil, doesn't work. Coconut oil, doesn't work. People have said baby oil, but I don't own baby oil.
Well, what's the consistency of this?
It's a spray.
Go on.
Oh, there we go. Spray. Yeah.
Let's have a feel. So it's kind of a non-oily oil in a bizarre way.
It's like a dry oil.
Yeah.
It feels like a dry oil. But I've tried using dry oils. I've tried using dry oil. I've tried using body oil. I've tried everything. And it doesn't really come off properly without having to give it a really good scrub. This, you get with a little pad.
Yeah.
Although I have gone upstairs and forgotten the pad, so I've just literally used a flannel. And it just wipes off. I don't know. It just wipes off.
And it doesn't feel like there's a lot of alcohol in it. It doesn't leave skin rough either.
No, oh my God, no, it's beautiful.
Very good.
Do you know what? It's really... Yeah, moisturised.
Yeah, I know. Actually, it's left your hand really soft.
I might just throw it all over my face. No, I won't.
I'll put that up. Because I think that'll be very interesting.
And it does say apply a nudie spray generously, but I just give one spray and it comes off and wipe it with a nudie pad. You get a little pad with it. It is
nudie.
Amazing. Honestly, it's amazing.
It's really good.
And one spray, that's going to last you ages, months, years. Yeah. Well, not years, but months. Yeah.
Liking it. Very useful. Okay, so pre-Oscars, I've watched 2 more Oscar-nominated films. I know this is a hobby of yours, trying to watch them, and it's also a hobby of mine.
I'm running out of time.
So, I know we are. So, Anatomy of a Fall, I watched.
This is what I want to watch. I can't, this is the one set in France, isn't it?
Yeah, and do you know what? I don't want to give it away. I'd be really intrigued to see what listeners think, because I don't know whether I loved it or I didn't, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
I loved the dog. It's fascinating. It was a very, very easy watch, a really kind of up to the last few minutes, a really compelling watch. Wasn't sure about the ending.
Really?
Wasn't sure. Okay. But I haven't said that. You watch it and tell me what you think.
Can I ask? Because it's French, I assume that it was all subtitled.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
But then I've seen things, it's not subtitled.
Is it dubbed?
No, it wouldn't be dubbed because it was clips on award
shows. No, it's
dubbed.
Definitely subtitled. Otherwise, how the hell are you going to know what's going on unless you're a French speaker? It's brilliant, brilliantly acted. There's a dog in it that is particularly, I think he won the Palme d'Or in Cannes for being such a good dog actor.
Wow, okay.
And he's got very blue eyes. But that's an aside, Kat. Although he does play a pivotal role, all I'm saying.
Oh, dear God.
Okay, and I also watched Killers of the Flower Moon, which I nearly didn't watch because so many people are like, it's such a long film, which it is.
Did you watch it over 2 nights?
I I watched it over three.
Jesus
Christ. I know, what a lightweight. I wanted to watch it over two, and then it got so late, we were like, there's still another hour left.
Oh, yeah.
So we watched it over three. Do you know what? I wish I'd sat. I might sit and watch it all again in one. I thought it was the most brilliant film.
You are one of...
Did you watch it?
No, I've not seen it yet. You are one of
any... I couldn't believe it was totally true. You are one an incredible story.
Two people that I think have liked it, and people I know who love film and love really arty films were like, what a pile of bollocks.
No. Absolutely. They are talking rubbish. Did you like The Irishman? Rubbish. Yes, I did like The Irishman, okay. But I didn't... I mean, I like, obviously, on the whole, like Scorsese films.
Yeah.
Have to say, God, Leo DiCaprio. I think I've always slightly underestimated him as an actor. He is unreal. He is possibly, I've got to say, he's got to be one of the top three actors out
there. Is he? Is he been nominated for an Oscar for this?
I think I'm pretty sure he has.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Perhaps when it goes to Killian, Killian's going to get it, but oh, I don't know. I've got not an inside.
It's going to go to what?
Killian Murphy for...
Oh, definitely. That's a shoo-in, Oppenheimer.
Really?
That's a shoo-in, I think.
See, I'm saying this, like, I've still not seen Oppenheimer. I've only seen two of them. I well.
Enjoyed on a just a sitting, watching a film in enjoyment level, Killers of the Flower Moon, so much more than Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I went to the cinema to see Oppenheimer. So that should make it better in a way.
Have you done Barbie? I've not even done Barbie.
I'm not going to do Barbie.
Oh, apparently it's brilliant.
I know, but it doesn't appeal to me. I've seen clips. I don't know why. I would watch it if it came on TV.
Well, exactly.
And I didn't have to pay for it.
It's like, that's what I've waited. It's on Sky soon.
I want to watch The Holdovers.
Oh, my God.
Because you loved it. And I know that I'm going to love it. It's going to be so much my film.
Oh, it's amazing.
I haven't seen Poor Things, and I want to. And I haven't seen The Zone of Interest, and I want to. I have seen Past Lives. And they are all the film nominees.
You haven't done American Fiction?
American Fiction.
I saw American Fiction.
American Fiction, no. I want to see that.
I saw the trailer when I went to see The Holdovers. And so I thought, and it looks really funny.
Yeah.
I thought, that looks brilliant. That looks really, really funny. And quite a real sort of like black, dark humor, dark comedy. And it's, I love the film. But the, what do you call it, the trailer,
yeah,
doesn't, I think if you go based on the trailer, it's not going to be the same. It's not the same film. But it's still brilliant. It is still brilliant. But the only funny, really, 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 really funny bits are the bits in the trailer. Other than that, it's quite dark. It's quite dark. It's very good. It's really sad. I obviously wept again. But it's very, very good. Do I prefer The Holdovers? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But will I recommend it? Yes.
I think Oppenheimer will win.
Yes, go. Right, come on. What have we got?
Right, let's quickly do our last two.
Rattle through. Hello, Marianne. Welcome to the House of Fun.
Go on.
So I have bought, I'm not going to get it out because it's over there, but...
I've seen it.
You've seen it. I've spent so long looking for one of these, a backgammon set. Okay. Well, this is because, you know, I don't want to... Wait. I don't know how to say this, but I don't want to spend my time going out and sitting in bars. You know, so I have a lot of people over to my house because it's just cheaper, isn't it?
Your house
it?
Is
cheaper.
A bar.
My house is a bar. It's cheaper. It's nicer. I don't need to go out and spend, you know, sitting money. And I like doing things rather than just sitting, chatting and drinking. So I might have a couple of cocktails, literally a couple of cocktails, that's all. Don't drink, ironically, nearly as much as I used to. Anyway.
You're busy playing darts and backgammon, but it's a lovely set, isn't it? It's very posh.
I bought a backgammon set, but they are so, so expensive. They can be so, so expensive. So I did a lot of research and I found this one at a place called, I'm not going to lie to you, thanks old Google. Farrah and Turner is the website. Never heard of it. But it's a really nice gift site, I would say. So, you know, it's that site, what do you buy someone who has everything? What do you buy your dad for Christmas? It's that sort of, you know.
Cufflinks and backgammon.
Yeah, leather desk accessories, that sort of thing. And it's brilliant. It's beautiful. And if you apply for that, if you write for their, what do you call it, their email, their, no, what do
you
call it?
You get like if you sign up for something. Yeah.
Sign up for the newsletter and you get 10% off, next day delivery. I think it was about £130, £140.
Wow.
And I wanted a leather one, I didn't want a wooden one.
Well, you want a forever one, don't you?
I mean, is it forever?
You don't get a backgammon set every year, do you?
Oh, no, absolutely not that price, no. But most of them I was looking at were like £400-£500.
Because it is that, what do you get someone for their special birthday, 60, 70, 80? Get them a backgammon set.
Well, I treated
myself.
Have a whip
round, get them a backgammon set, and you spend a bit of money.
It's basically the same price the meal out for two.
Oh, fair enough. Right. Can I say this quickly? I bought a massive garden gnome by mistake.
You can say it quickly, but this is going to run and run because we need to talk about, I think we're going to talk about things for the home. I bought a backgammon set. Oh my God, this is very un-us. I bought a backgammon set, which is functional, useful, and, you know, for the slightly intellectual. You bought not even a massive garden gnome, it's blue, it's pale blue.
I know. Well, the thing is, Kat, cut a long story short, I bought a very jolly, I think actually I didn't buy it, I was sent it years ago, I know not why or where, and it was bright yellow, little fella, little gnome, made me happy.
Nice.
Got broken over the years, kept having to put him back on his foot, and gave up the ghost 2 weeks ago. It got broken again. I was like, for God's sake, gnome, you're going in the bin. Sorry. And then I missed him. And so I got what I thought was a replacement. I thought, well, we'll get yellow again. Didn't particularly like any of the other colours. I'll go for the nice blue.
Cornflower blue.
Yeah, like a nice kind of duck eggy cornflowery blue. Anyway, turns up, I thought, bloody hell, what's in this massive box? That's almost bigger than the delivery man. I was like, what's in this? What's in this? What's in this? Cut it open. Absolutely gnome. That's about as tall as me. I can't send it back. I can't be bothered to send it back. So I'm living with him.
It's fine. They do have them in the tourist shops at beach thing. I'm just saying. Do you think it was really exclusive? Your gnome.
Oh, I just wanted a lovely gnome.
Do you know what? It's such a lovely
gnome.
Wasn't
an exclusivity thing.
It's
Kat,
a lovely.
But the size thing. I got my 16 mixed up with my 60.
It's not that big. It's 60 centimetres.
Yeah, but it's quite big.
No, it's not that big. Just because you're four, it's not that big.
All right.
It's lovely. I think you should get a set of them. I think you should have a family. I think. You should
never live it
down. By family. Yeah, but we're just gonna shelve this for a while because then we're gonna talk about another time. What do we call them? Ornaments in the house that are toys.
Yeah. Let's save that.
We're saving this.
Yeah. Let's save that and we'll bring it out off
gnomes.
The shelves.
Yes,
yeah.
Or gnome.
Gnome, sweet gnome. Anyway. Okay. It's a wrap, folks. Thank you so much for listening to Being There, Done That, Got the Podcast. Now then, we're about to hit, if we haven't already, because we've not double checked, 1 million downloads. So we want to thank each and every one of you for supporting us over the last year and a half. That's a really great achievement. Thank you.
Can't imagine that. It's amazing. And don't forget to follow us on Insta at Got the Podcast, where we put up all the polls, questions, and extras. See you on Monday.
Bye.